can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program tonight, brought to you by, brought by us. Watchmen for Jesus Network. Welcome. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program. We had a program earlier today about the Nephilim and current news, but I ended up with talking about the Nephilim. And I'll probably end up talking about it again tonight, and then again tomorrow. Family, you're going to need to know about these guys, the Nephilim, because you're going to see them. But before I go there, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Then we're going to talk about a subject that's popping up every now and then first, called dispensationism. I'm going to cover that tonight at the very beginning. We're going to put that to rest. Because there's folks out there trying to destroy God's Word. You know, people say, well, I use the King James Bible. Well, gosh, actually, those preachers out there that say I use the King James Bible and then say, well, it's got errors in it. Or there's, we found, we's, if they got a mouse in their pocket, they say we've found more accurate, older versions, older scrolls of scriptures. Or they'll say you have to read the Hebrew and Greek. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. And these are Baptists, me, as your proverbial, you know, fundamental born again, but they're not. They're trained by these theology schools, and I mean every single one of them, from Harvard all the way down to Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, some place in Michigan or North Carolina or Tennessee or, I don't know, pick 50, that are trained. They're scholars or humanists, New Agers, and Marxists literally make up our education system since the year 1908. Rockefellers. Fast forward. Reagan. All of them have been corrupting our education system since the day this country ever had an education system. Freemasons control it. Isis stars for the women and Freemasons for the men. You step out of line outside the Humanist Manifesto of teaching on your own to do the truth, they will fire you. In the New York Minute, Satan covers all bases for now until Jesus comes back. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to talk about dispensation. I'm going to put that to rest. And we're going to lead into the Nephilim. Because they're going to take a significant part of the lives of humans in the near future. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. You're going to start seeing YouTube presentations of deep underground military bases. You know, watch this now. It's going to be taken down soon and blah, blah, blah. They want you to see what's going on. They come up with all this melodramatic commentary. Like, I got, as if getting it up there is a big deal. And then they're going to take it down soon. And it always stays up till they're tired of it. And then they'll just remove it when everybody's tired of looking at it. They want you to see what's going on. They want you to know. Well, here's the rub on that. That they don't even know. The ones that go down the cosmic top secret level, it don't matter what level it is, what the highest level of retina check to get inside or whatever 007 methodology it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make one bit of difference. What they have built is not the place they'll live. What they've built, all this time, all this money, all this effort, they've simply built their tombs. Because they will die down there. When the tribulation begins, they will not stop the Nephilim. They will not stop the supernatural, the demonic realm. We'll eat them up. Like a tree trimmer. Because they have lost their faith. They're trying to hide from God in the inevitable tribulations, and they're just going to get swallowed up. Everything they've got will be destroyed. There's no hiding from God. It's impossible. There's no hiding from Satan unless you're born again. And you're not hiding. You're protected. It's coming. This is practice right now. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study that we can conduct, Father, with our own network. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have it to keep us in the air, Lord, with your wisdom, your intervention. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for those that are lost. We pray for those that are being attacked by not only supernatural, but, Father, by family members, by work, by wherever they are, that, Father, we know they've been targeted. We pray, Father, for their protection. And we pray for the blood of Jesus to be spread around them, to cover them over. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible, the true Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that keeps us all together. Father, we pray for an awakening in this country, in the world. Lord, we pray that there'll be a spreading of the Holy Spirit, an anointing to go on. We pray for return of Jesus Christ to this planet, Lord. We know there's no other way to defeat Satan but through Jesus. Father, that's why we pray for an awakening of those with the ears to hear and the eyes to see and the heart to listen, that, Lord, those eyes, ears, and heart will be opened. We pray for an awakening. Father, we pray for protection in these Bible studies and these broadcasts we put out to bring us wisdom and discernment, Lord, that in our own ways, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. We lay them before the cross. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, this thing called dispensation. You know, one time, I was asked about dispensationalist. I was going to be on a network, like last year. And they asked me last year, before I bring you on as one of our broadcasters or whatever, it was another, it didn't work out, obviously. Are you a dispensationalist? I said, what? She asked me, are you a dispensationalist? I said, man, I don't even know what that is. You don't know? I said, no, I don't know. I don't care to know. Don't matter what you want to call it. I just know the King James Bible and what it says because I read it, you know, and it's literal. So what? I don't care if you call it dispensation, condensation, or whatever station you want to call it or ism. It don't make one lick of difference what it is. If it's a movement, a theology, an ideology, archaeology, I don't care. Whatever it is, it don't make one lick of difference because the King James Bible overrides it. The King James Bible is literal. Except when Jesus says, the prophets use a parable or visions, dreams, and then they're interpreted. You know, the Bible stands on its own. So I said, I never bothered to check what dispensation is because I don't care what it is. It don't make any difference what it is. I don't really care to muddle my mind up with all the isms when all of them are wrong. Every ism you got out there is wrong. If it's an ism, it's wrong. Only thing that's not wrong is rheumatism. You know that when you feel it. Ouch. That's real. That's the only ism that's real. And these isms has been created by the Vatican, by Satan, by all the others have killed people. It's the only real part about it, but they're all frauds and fakes designed to kill. Designed to cause conflict. That's all they're for. Only real part about them, I guess you could say they've caused death. That's real. But as far as a liable solution, as far as a truth, they have none in them. Not a one. Dispensationalism is a system of a theology, if you want to call it that. And there's two primary distinctives in this thing called dispensation. You have a consistently literal interpretation of the scripture, especially Bible prophecy. And then there's a distinction between Israel and the church in God's program. Israel today is a fake Israel. Israel's real. It is the God's holy city, Jerusalem, and so forth. But the Israelites, they aren't Israelites, man. They're fake Jews. Ashkenazi, Khazars. Star of David is satanic. It's witchcraft. Now, I'm not anti-Semite, termite, or whatever type you want to call it. I'm just telling you what it is. I don't take a position. I don't care. All I care about is Jesus Christ, the King James Bible. I'm done. That's it. So I'm just telling you what it is. And right now, as I'm speaking for the next hour and a half, you can go ahead and pull up another computer window thing, whatever you want, and type in Star of David, pagan. Read to your heart's content. There it is. It is used for witchcraft, blood sacrifice, conjuring up demonic entities. American flag, by design, has 50 pentagrams on it, and they know what they're doing too. That's what we're raised up on. With a cloak of Christianity, if you will, but never meant to be carried out. And it wasn't. Our founding fathers were deists. Yep, they were. The New Atlantis. That's another story. The Muslim flag is a half moon, which is Allah, moon god, and a star, which is Satan, Lucifer. That's what that means. You've got the Ohio, is it Ohio National Guard? It's got a new emblem or something. Almost every one of them's got an occult sign on their uniforms. Family, God, I hate saying this. I really do, but I got to be honest. The Medal of Honor is a satanic Baphomet in honor of Satan. Oh, I hate saying that. But it's true. Navy Cross, Bronze Star, you got it? Man, we've been fooled bad by Satan. I don't like saying these things, but I got to tell you the truth. Now you got the point? The hand signs for those deaf and dumb. Two fingers up, index finger, and the little finger pointing upward. Two fingers, middle down, covered by the thumb, the two middle fingers. That means, well, actually, the thumb's out. That's I love you in hand sign, right? No. That's I love you, Satan. That's what it means, because you will find that those hand signs were designed that way. That's the purpose of it. Double horns. All along. What was the, I forgot the name off the top of my head of, it kind of escapes me right now. Gosh, I just drew a blank. What was her name that created the hand signs? I don't recall her name off the top of my head. I usually have it at the top of my head, but I don't have it right now because I hadn't planned on talking about this part. I'll think of it in a minute. But when she designed the hand signs for the deaf, dumb, and deaf and dumb, she was a Satanist. People don't realize that. And she snuck it in on us. El Diablo. Helen Keller was an occultist, and she was a theosophist. The El Diablo hand signs, they say, is confused with the deaf sign of the phrase, I love you. But it has an odd resemblance, they say, but then you realize that she was a Satanist, an occultist herself. That puts it right in there. That's what happened, unfortunately. And people don't realize that. That's what that means. Because she was an occultist. Theosophy, Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, the whole nine yards. Dispensation and dispensationists claim that the principle of Hermeneutics is that of literal interpretation of the Bible. And that means giving each word the meaning it was being used for commonly in everyday usage, symbols and speech and types of all this, and interpreted plainly in this kind of method of literal. But this is no way contrary to literal interpretation, because symbols and figurative type sayings have literal meanings behind them also. And this is the best way to view Scripture for several reasons. Using the word philosophically, which philosophy in college course is a worthless course. Philosophy is just nonsense. But they've created philosophy, the fallen angels did, as one of the seven ashram rays to intermingle and cohabitate, if you will, with religion. And religion was created to falsify the truth about God. That's what religion was designed for. All religions, including Christianity, which came from Constantine. Constantine created the Roman Catholic Church in 325 A.D., pretty much at the Council of Nicaea. That was to pull in those that rejected the ancient mystery schools. So they made a religion. In the same way that they made a religion for the Arabs who rejected Roman Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, created the religion of Islam in the 6th century. And then about 300-400 years later, funded the invasion of Northern Africa, the taking of Jerusalem, and protecting Roman Catholics. Was why the Roman Catholic Church funded the invading armies of Islam. Except when they got a little bit feisty and they wanted to come north into Europe is when the Crusades began. Oops, that was a sneak up on them. 11 Crusades later, they got control back. So, philosophically, the purpose of language itself requires that we interpret it literally. Language was given by God for the purpose of us being able to communicate with man. He even changed the languages in the Tower of Babel because man was getting together in one language to build a tower to allow the fallen angels to come in through the Tower of Babel on this earth. That was the heaven they were building it to. So God supernaturally tore down the tower and changed languages supernaturally, which later led to the changing of the cultures. So going back, so the first reason is philosophically the language requires that we interpret it literally. The second reason is biblical. Every prophecy about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, with the exception of those in the end times that's coming up, all the others were fulfilled literally. 360-some prophecies, about 90% plus, were fulfilled exactly and literally when Jesus Christ came into his ministry, from his birth to his ministry. It was literal. Well, there you go. His birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, all occurred exactly and literally as the Old Testament predicted it would happen. So there's really no non-literal fulfillment of all these prophecies in the New Testament. So this is an argument strongly for the literal method. But if literal interpretation is not used in studying the Scriptures, well, there's no objective standard by which you can understand the Bible. That's why you have all these made-up doctrine coming out of all these movements, Hebrew Roots movement, Sacred Name movement, Arnold Murray and Unitarianism, Universalism, Shepherd's Church, just goes and goes. People just make up their own as they go along. Each congregation has a different spin on it. If you don't have it this way, each and every person would be able to interpret the Bible as they saw fit. If there's a contradiction, well, it's just the way I look at it. We'll just agree to disagree. Man, if you got a contradiction, you better get it straightened out, because there's no contradictions in the Bible. Somebody's wrong. Biblical interpretation also devolves into what the passage says to me, instead of the Bible says. It goes along with, well, I really think it means this. I don't think God would have done that. Really? Like mankind has the wisdom to even debate the Bible? No, it doesn't. No human being ever lived, except Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. But since the dawn of time, there's never been a human being, ever, and never will be, that can debate the Bible. It's impossible. It won't happen. If the knowledge about God would equal putting the ocean to a pint cup, and since mankind does not have the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural, how is it even possible for even debating the Bible? Hey, you can't. When you have these debating the Bibles, debates, that was what it would be, right? Like ham and ham on rye, ham on nye, get it? I'd venture a guess this guy named Ham is a Calvinist or a closet atheist, because this is the game they play. They pretend to be Christian. They debate another, either a Muslim, or they'll debate an atheist, or they'll debate on something else, whatever. But they're really on the same side, and they pretend to be opposite. This is more than likely what they do. Because someone that's born again will know even the word debate in the Bible is linked up with unrighteousness, murder, everything else. As there's a scripture about that, actually. It talks about how God commands against debating. It lists them all. You're probably saying, well, show me. Show me where. Okay, I might be able to do that. In debate, Romans 1:29. If you go to Romans 1:29, it tells you. Being filled, okay, going up to Romans 1:28, and even as they did, not like to retain the knowledge with God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You don't want that to happen to you. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, it just keeps going. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, homosexual, implacable, unmerciful. Who keeps going? Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Man, that's harsh. And debate is one of them. Don't these people read the Bible? I don't know what Ham's thinking, but his is overcooked. To get out there and debate is going against God. So, this one thing called dispensational theology it actually teaches pretty much that there's two distinct peoples of God, Israel and the church. Well, that would be the real Israel, of course. Dispensationalists, they actually believe that salvation has always been by faith and in God in the Old Testament, specifically in God the Son in the New Testament. And these dispensationalists, they contend or hold that the church has not replaced Israel in God's program. And the Old Testament promises to Israel that have not been transferred to the church. So they believe the promises God made Israel for land and descendants and blessings in the Old Testament will be ultimately fulfilled in the 1,000-year period. They'll be restored. That's spoken about in Revelation 20. So dispensationalists, they believe that just as God is in the age focusing his attention on the church, he'll again, in the future, focus his attention on Israel. Romans 9:11. So you go to Romans 9:11. For the children, being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. But we're all equal, too, Gentiles and Jews. But God's timepiece is Israel, not America. So this goes into your Arnold Murray and Herbert Armstrong and White Hats and America to be the new Atlantis. Or is it Babylon? They can't make up their mind. Well, they're not going to be either. They ain't going to be around. We're not significant in the Bible at all. But using this system as a premier basis, dispensationalists understand the Bible to be organized into seven different dispensations. Talked about in Genesis and Exodus and Revelation and Acts. There's seven called the innocence, the conscience, human government, promise, the law, then the dispensation of grace, and the millennium kingdom. And all these are covered by Scripture. Well, the age of innocence would be Genesis 1, and then 1, 3, and 7, specifically. Conscious dispensation would be Genesis 3, 8, and 8:22. So the innocence would be Genesis 1, verse 1, and Genesis 3, verse 7. The conscience would be Genesis 3, verse 8, and Genesis 8 and 22. Human government would be in Genesis 9, verse 1 to 11. And 9, verse 32. The dispensation of promise, you'll find in Genesis 12, verse 1, and Exodus 19 to 25. The dispensation of law, you'll find in Exodus 20, verse 1, and Acts 2, verse 4. And the dispensation of grace, you find Acts 2, verse 4, and Revelation 20, verse 3. And number seven, the millennium kingdom, you'll find it in Revelation 20, verse 4 to 6. So, these dispensations are not, however, passed to a salvation. This is simply, it's simply a way that, well, It's a way in which God relates to man. And so this term, dispensationalism, when you look at it as a system with ism behind it, results in a premillennium interpretation of God's second coming. And generally, it's a pre-tribulational interpretation of the rapture. So you'll find those that are anti-dispensation will speak out against the rapture, speak out against Israel. It all just falls right along into a cult group. So to bring it all around, you could pretty much say that dispensationalism is a theological system that emphasizes literal interpretation of biblical prophecy. It recognizes a clear, distinction between Israel and the church. And as I gave scripture, it organizes the Bible into a different dispensation that it presents out to. There's more detail than that, but that's a general overview of dispensationalism. It's there. And you got the scripture. Now there's other links to dispensation. It just goes and goes. The ultra dispensationalism. Dispensational premillennialism and premillennial dispensationalism. Dispensation of innocence and progressive dispensationalism. Rheumatism, arthritis, and whatever else you want to throw in there. The terminology don't mean the hoot. It's mankind's effort of trying to understand the Bible by attaching an ism to it and then manipulating it to his desire. The Bible just tells you what it is without calling it dispensationism or ism, any kind of ism. But people get caught up in it. That's what cult groups bring in. Another way to tell a cult group is they get angry at you. They get all upset, or the leaders will say, "You don't have to read the Bible. Just listen to me. I'll give you all the answers." You ever heard that before? That's how they pull you in. Well, what it's looking like is this Nephilim notions pick up steam. People are not going to want to talk about it because it's scary. The highest level that knows something about the Nephilim don't want to talk about it because it's classified and so forth. Those of us that's just trying to pick apart what the heck's going on, trying to figure it out, because I can't figure out whether they're really trying to go to war with each other. You know, Russia, China against America and Europe and all that. Or whether they're pretending to do that, get it all set up because they know they're going to have to take on the Nephilim. And it'll be a worldwide effort, all the countries coming together to take on the Nephilim. Now, this happened on the North American continent, for example. Prior to around the, before the 12th century, 13th century, and before, the indigenous population on the North American continent, they had to deal with the skinwalkers, what they call them, the skinwalkers in the American plain. 12 to 15 foot giant, full bodied warriors that were supernaturally strong, could outrun a buffalo, pick him up, and eat him on the way. Talking about pick up and eat. Whole new meaning to the word. Raw, not a problem. Called skinwalkers. They were Nephilim, like Goliath. The Indians had to defeat them for a long time because of cannibalism. They were killing Indians and so forth. So the only way they could do it was to find their homes, which were in caverns, caves, seal them up, and burn them out. They came outside, they'd have to shoot them with arrows and spears and whatever else. Well, this Nephilim, or hybrids, they don't have a spirit, excuse me, it was awkward. They don't have a spirit connected to God. So the demons that's inside the bodies, the spirits are demons, demonic. When the body dies, the spirit goes to the abyss in the supernatural realm, the second heaven. So they're out looking for bodies. Well, they're coming back. Because it says in the Bible, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. So, now I covered this in my broadcast this afternoon. And, you know, if you want to, you can download it. I'll upload it this evening to my website. But when you say hybrids, what are you talking about? They have a DNA structure that's not human. There's no such thing as aliens. These are fallen angels. And when they take a manifest flesh on this planet by ritual, invocation, open up portals, their supernatural being resides on the planets in the universe, in our star system, different planets. That's why you have different days of the week. Because you worship different fallen angels each day of the week. Saturn is Satan, Uranus, Saturn. Saturn. Saturday. Sunday is sun worship. Sun God. Mercury is Wednesday. Another demon, fallen angel. You see, each day of the week is a worship of that fallen angel. The planets, the portals open up through witchcraft, sacrifice. That's what Tower of Babel is all about. To open up portals. Human flesh cannot reside outside the Van Allen belt, or it'll just burn like you throw a pet mouse into a microwave oven. Same thing as you go outside the... Don't go do that now. Outside the Van Allen belt, the flesh will burn. Same way. Nobody go to the moon. Only supernatural energy forces can go outside the Van Allen belt in the outside universe, outside the Van Allen belt. Van Allen belt protects the world from being scorched by radiation. Call it just one big old Faraday cage if you want to. That's what it does. So, when they do ritual on these holidays, disasters, and so forth, it opens up portals allowing these fallen angels to come to this realm. If they can't, don't have enough energy transfer, if you will, then they have to use chelas or avatars or channeling, overshadowing their thoughts, their plans, or commandments through human beings that's prepared to receive them, like in the Himalayas. That's what their purpose is. Their sole purpose in life, you know, the bald-headed Chiang Kangs or whatever up there, and Kung Fu artists, their Shaolin Temple thing going on. Yeah, the Tibet, Nanu. We're talking up there. They're channelers of the fallen angels. They're channelers of the demonic realm. The Dalai Lama, he's one of the head channelers. He does that little headbutt thing, right? You know, he comes up to somebody with that grin he's got, and he does a headbutt. It's not cute. What they're doing is transferring a demonic entity to the person he's doing it to. And to seal it, he puts a scarf over around him. It's a Hindu practice, but a practice of the supernatural witchcraft is what it is. He puts on this air this little old bald-headed gray, little old bald-headed man that's just friendly and all this, that, and the other, but he's not evil to the core. He is evil, like most of our presidents have been, and those involved in Bohemian Grove and so forth. They're all evil. I know it doesn't look that way, but that's what they are. It's called the dialectic. They show you what evil is, and then they act opposite, but they're both evil. It's like witchcraft with the witches or the dark magic, and the good witches of the north who protect and love Mother Earth. No, both are witches. It's a dialectic. There's no such thing as duality. That's a checkerboard floor. That's what that means. It's a frequency vibration thing going on. Alchemy. Alchemy's biological, sound, colors, frequencies, vibrations, all this nonsense. But it works. That's part of your royal secret to the Freemasons at the highest level. Druid, satanic knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil. Did y'all get all that? So, the big question is, were the sons of God angels? Some preachers say they're not. Preachers that say they are correct. The preachers that say they're not will call them to be the sons of Seth. Of course, we know, you've listened to my broadcast before, that's impossible. Because the sons of Seth, this is going to sound so basic, but I'll tell you why in a minute, were born after the earth was created. Imagine that. The sons of God, in Job 38:7, along with the angels in heaven, sang for joy. The stars in heaven sing, that's angels sing. And the sons of God shouted for joy, And that was when God created the cornerstone of the earth. So the sons of Seth could not be the sons of God, because the sons of God shouted for joy when the earth was given its cornerstone. It means they existed before the earth. And that couldn't be the sons of Seth. Sons of God were fallen angels in physical form. The second wave of fallen angels came after the flood, because they were enamored in lust of the daughters of men, again. So the Hebrew word for the sons of God is B'nai B'hai Ha'Elohim, Elohim. And that would mean that these are heavenly beings, and it gives credence to them being the offspring of fallen angels. The term Elohim is literally the plural of God. Why would they be the sons of God? Because they were created by God. They didn't have mother and father. But see, Jesus Christ, and this is where God gets specific, was the only begotten son of God. Adam was the son of God because he was created by God. Adam didn't have a belly button because he wasn't born of a woman. Neither did Eve. They were created beings. Jesus Christ had a belly button. He came in the usual way. His Father was God Almighty himself, and God came down in human flesh at the same time, it's called the Trinity, by the way, and was born of a woman in the womb. Had an umbilical cord. He sold his pants too, I bet. But it grew into being our eternal Savior. Then the children of these sons of God and daughters of men were mighty men and renowned. They were giants. Something in their genetics made them supersized people. You know what that was? the barium, the nitrogen atmospheric content, sound familiar, and the copper-based DNA contained within their genetic makeup, because the copper-based DNA made up the flesh of the fallen angels when they took on form. And for those to say that if they're angels, they can't marry or be in marriage, that's in heaven. That's supernatural. But on earth, they were physical. And I'd say making babies, unless you've never heard of the birds and bees, is pretty doggone physical. From the last I heard, actually the angels that went to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, they sat down to eat. The men outside wanted to partake because the men outside wanted some homosexual activity going on. Well, you don't mess with God's angels. God's angels smited their sight, made them blind. Now, there's a some kind of program was last year had touched by an angel characters in it that played a part, and it showed the two angels in this series of about the Bible last year, and the two angels that came down in the Hollywood production or whatever it was, the two angels were like ninja warriors or something. Man, they never get it right on TV. I don't understand these people. You got it written in the Bible and they go out with ninja warrior in angels or something. So when the sons of God, which were fully grown, embodied fallen angels, when the daughters of man, who had iron oxide DNA and water, iron, fallen angels flesh, copper-based DNA, because they need that type of DNA to be able to change shape, which they could do. And to be physical in the right frequency vibration and be able to take on that much energy to change shape, they needed a stronger DNA, which was copper-based DNA. Iron oxide would spontaneously combust. Ha ha, yeah. When too much energy is put into it. You see what's going on here? The Bible self-confirming in one passage of scripture can always be confirmed by another. There's never a contradiction. And it says, in the term sons of God, used in the book of Job, Job chapter 1 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, which comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Job 1, 6, and 7. Now, what in the dick is he talking about? He's talking about opening up portals. Doorways, they call them in the Bible. Doorways, openings. They've learned how to do that. Tower of Babel is going to be one of them. So God is literally meeting with the sons of God. It took place in heaven, called the Divine Council. And God holds it when he chooses to meet with both good and evil angels to discuss affairs of the world. A lot of people don't understand this. It's sometimes when you really read the Bible, man, it beats Harry Potter all to pieces. Because it's real. First Kings, somewhere here in First Kings, I don't have it here in front of me. First Kings is pretty long, but it talks about this in First Kings 22. And the thing about the Bible, it talks about the giants and all these things going on, and it's not fables. they're literal. Really happened. And in Psalms 82 as well, it talks about these assemblies, that divine counsel that God holds. And they actually have, listen now, they actually have their own, listen, it's called the Wesak Festival. Very few people talk about this. And the connection the Wesak Festival has with Satan being invoked in this festival, when? In May, every May, yearly. Where? Mount Shasta, California, exactly where. You'll find a lot of missing children there too, I bet you. And they sacrifice them, kill them, invoke Satan, Sanat Kumara, the fallen angels, El Moria, Saint Germain, Dajuaku, Kathumi. They got names, New Age names. Look up Ascended Masters. There you find the evil. There you find the first ones that's going to hell. And there you find what hell was created for. It was for them and them only. Except for those humans that follow them. Another divine counsel is called in Job chapter 2. It says, again, there is a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now you know that come about the sixth seal, when the stars in heaven will fall, it's not talking about meteorites at all. It's talking about the fallen angels being cast out of the second heaven. They will no longer have counsel with God. God's done with them. It's nothing now but pure judgment on the earth. And that's what the seven trumpets are for. And they're going to see their world fall apart again. Their Nephilim children, the transhumanized army of 200 million, destroyed under God's wrath. God's wrath hadn't even begun yet. And the wrath of Satan, the first seal, has not even been opened yet. But we're getting close. Very close. So again, when you read the text, the sons of God are not human men, but in fact they're angels. But they're not Nephilim. They're not giants in that sense. That's hybrids, half-breeds, hybrids of human and fallen angel DNA. Copper-based DNA and human-based DNA combined. That means they can die. But hard too. And big, too, and strong, also. And I'm going to tell you something. Wearing garlic around your neck, holding up a cross, and silver bullets ain't going to work. Some people say copper bullets. How many copper bullets do you have, by the way? Because when you run out, and you got an M4, it doesn't even do too good for a vertical butt stroke, neither. You might want to have an M14 if you're going to do that. Because when you run out of rounds, they work better with an M14 or M16 as a butt stroke. But I don't think that's going to bother a Nephilim, by the way. Everybody's gearing up to go after these Nephilim, not with bows and arrows, but 25 millimeter, this, that, and the other, and laser beams and all kinds of other things. But family, it's going to run out. It's going to be shut down. Nobody will stop the judgment and tribulations of God. It's impossible to happen. And mankind up against the supernatural with natural weapons, it ain't going to work, y'all. You'll have to realize that the hard way. So the deep underground military bases, all they're doing is spend a lot of money to build their tomb, because they'll never come out of there alive. That's in the future. The third reference, as I mentioned before, to the sons of God in the Old Testament is again in Job. But this time, in, as I mentioned, 38, you'll find it there. And also Job talks about creation in more detail. You know, Job tried to get feisty with God. Job thought he was too smart. God put him in his place. That's what Job 38:1-7 is all about. So God, who in this posing the questions to Job from Job 38:1-6 about the creation of the universe, and this was to show Job here how little understanding and knowledge he has compared to the Lord, which is what mankind has little understanding, because mankind cannot understand the supernatural. We don't have the dimensional capacity. That's why we got the Bible, King James Bible. And that's why they have corrupted versions, so it confuse you. This is what's really going on. It's in TV. He says, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hast laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest?" That's God talking to Job. "Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Oh. Had the sons of Seth do that one. That's a trick. Even Houdini couldn't pull off, or David Copperfield. To appear on earth before you're born? So, once again, not only were the sons of God with God, but they existed even before the earth itself was created. Every one, every use of the term B'nai I Elohim in the Old Testament is reference to angelic beings. Problem is, some people confuse the Septuagint as any kind of scripture from God, and it's not. Septuagint is trash. Septuagint, for example, like the Apocrypha, was orchestrated, put together by Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, in around the 4th or 5th century. He put that heretical document together. Septuagint was never copied by Paul. Septuagint was never spoken of by Jesus. Septuagint was copied by Origen from the original scriptures. 70 to 90 AD in Antioch. So by the 200 years after they received it in Antioch, the scrolls and manuscripts, around the 2nd, 3rd century, thereabouts, Origen got a copy of the copies of the scrolls from Antioch. He started corrupting them. He had some Old Testament Deuteronomy. Then he added his own, come up with the Septuagint. He was one that copied. The Apocrypha just threw old wives' tales in, some other historical documents, whatever, and they put the Apocrypha together, which 1611 time frame, the two Jesuits had infiltrated into the King James 47 translators. They couldn't manipulate the scripture, but toward the end of putting the Bible together, they were able to insist to a committee to insert the Apocrypha in the middle of the Old and New Testament as a separate binder, a separate document, of which by the 1800s was removed. When they realized, what's this trash doing here? And they took it out. Doesn't belong there. And neither is the Book of Enoch. Wasn't even written by Enoch. It wasn't inspired by God. It's inspired by the fallen angels, the Book of Enoch, a couple hundred years before Christ. Enoch was taken up before the flood. About three generations before the flood, Enoch was taken. So he didn't write a book in heaven and drop it down through the clouds. Excuse me. So, question is, about these Nephilim, they didn't have cloning back then, so they had to intermingle DNA and wait a generation or two before to see what would happen. That's where the dinosaurs came from, and the so-called cavemen and all that, and evolution was orchestrated by the fallen angels. But they had to wait a generation to see what happened. Then they'd learn and they'd modify it more by biological alchemy and elemental alchemy. By knowledge, God did it by creation. So Job, which is the oldest book of the Bible, was written by the patriarch Job, who lived very close to the time of the flood. So it's in reference to angels. Reflect this, actually. And there's a passage that's not often cited in some of the scriptures or some of the research I've read that states directly that certain angels were involved in illicit relations with human women. You'll find it in Genesis 6, 2 and 4. It also occurs when Eliphaz, one of Job's friends, is consoling him over the loss of his family in a satanically empowered hurricane. Does that sound familiar? Because today, they have HAARP that controls hurricanes, tsunamis, drought, tornadoes, earthquakes. Is HAARP. HAARP also mind control. HAARP also in conjunction with RFID chip or implanted Vera chip implant can actually mimic the powers of a demon, because that's all demons are. They're like people, little people, but they're energy beings that think, answer to orders of the fallen angels, or assign certain specialties. And they're energy beings, like little beads of light. But they have a conscience about them. Frequency vibrations. And specialized in emotions. So what they've done with technology, they've actually been able to synthesize demonic entities by electromagnetic energy and frequency vibrations that match it. You with me? Lust, anger, hate, other emotions come from certain vibrational output or caused by input. Frequencies is what make up the physical world and emotions by energy manipulation. They can scientifically match it, or open up portals, allow the demons to come inside the body. So if you know that Satan is prince of the air, which he is, they can control weather as well, as God allows. Well, I think that dreams and visions are already happening to some people. Some people have that gift. You'll hear about them. But to know they're coming from God, they've got to be matching the King James Bible. If they're against the Bible, there never was a dream or a vision of God, from God, excuse me. That's how you tell. You always test the spirits. Well, shall mortal man be more than just a god? Shall a man be more than just pure, more pure than his maker? He put no trust in his servants and his angels he charged with folly. The word folly here in the Old Testament is used to describe a sexual sin, abomination. So once again, we use the scripture to interpret scripture. Even in Star Trek, which is a Freemason design, Roddenberry was a Freemason, And every one of the series were designed for this purpose, to show us about the New World Order and us enjoy it as science fiction. When a lot of the truths were put in the Star Trek series right in front of our eyes. Well, they're called, when they went to other planets, the prime directive was never to get involved. But fallen angels did. And Dinah, D-I-N-A-H, was the daughter of Leah. And she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard about it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because they had wroth folly in Israel, lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought to be not to be done. Find Genesis 34, 1 and 2 and 7. Then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wroth folly in the Israel, to play the whore in her father's house. So shall thou put evil away from amongst you. Deuteronomy 22:21. They were harsh in the old law days. And it came to pass after that, Absalom, son of David, had a fair sister. His name was Tamar. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it was hard for him to do anything to her. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, said unto her, "Come lie with me, my sister." She answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly." 2 Samuel 13, 1 and 2, and 2 Samuel 11, verse 12. So, in this, you see that certain untrustworthy angels were charged with the sin of folly. Sinful sexual acts. And in the verse in Job, it relates to, he perceives perversiveness in his angels. In the books 2 Peter and Jude, it details punishment of the angels that committed these sins. And you'll find that Jude 1, 6 to 8. And the angels which kept not their first estate, the third heaven, or second heaven, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Now we've talked about the great day before. That was the day of the Lord. Now is that judgment that's going to happen then, or is that, it's not going to be their judgment? Does that mean he releases them? Boy, they'd be ticked off. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Family, the purpose of the flood of hell is to stop these fallen angels from doing what they're doing. But God uses evil. He allows evil because, you know why? Because it separates, because we have free will. It separates the wheat and the tares. That's why through the thousand-year millennium, when it finally happens, Satan is chained. For 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he's released. Now, why would God do that? Well, one, they'll be reproducing mankind during that thousand-year reign under primitive conditions. You're not going to have George Jetson UFOs and high-rise apartments and, you know, tricorders and all this other. It's not going to happen because the Great Tribulation will tear everything down. We're going to go back to primitive lifestyle. People aren't thinking about this. What really happens is tribulation. And there will be a dramatic reduction of the world's population after the seventh seal. Dramatic depopulation of even the fallen angels. And Nephilim, transhumanized army. Listen now. At the seventh seal, the seventh bowl is 100-pound hailstones. Now, why would God do that? Why not just, you know, baseball size? Why 100-pound hailstone? That's big. What happened last year? What was his name? Paul Bagley or whatever? He talked about a 900-pound hailstone in Croatia. What's that all about? About nothing. Family, when 100-pound hailstones fall throughout the world, man, you're going to know it. But you're not going to be here. Because, family, you got 3.5 years of tribulation yet to come. And then the World War III is the second seal. You got 5 more to go. The second seal will be a death of 4 to 7 billion people. Yes, sir. Famine. Disease. And those that follow Jesus Christ, there will be souls under the altar. They'll be killed. Their souls will go to heaven. Bodies go to the earth for the time being. Sixth seal is a great earthquake. Takes down everything man-made. Nothing man-made will be standing. It'll be an earth-hugging earthquake. And it won't be done by harp either. And God don't need a bipolar earth to cause it. He can cause it whenever he wants to. It's going to be in the sixth seal. Seventh seal brings on the first trumpet. And from then on is the abomination of desolation. Satan takes control of Jerusalem. The two witnesses come out. 144,000 real Hebrew Israelites will come out of the woodwork somewhere. And boy, it's on. And here comes God's wrath. And those that are born again are not called upon in God's wrath. That's for sure. Then another 3.5 years of God's wrath. One trumpet right after the other. When's the rapture? Nobody knows. So I wouldn't worry about it. If you accept Jesus as Savior, you ain't got to worry about it none. Besides, if you don't, you got to worry about it continually because when everybody leaves, it's too late then. But you're not appointed to wrath. So it means you got to be put somewhere. But Jude 1:6-8, you see a reference to angels who left their habitation. And they're reserved in chains until judgment day. That's a punishment for the angels who left their habitation of the spirit world to go after strange flesh. So that means for them to come down here, they had to take on physical flesh made of copper-based DNA. You'll find out later. That's where kings and queens of today in the blue, copper blue bloodline are hybrids. They got to keep it within their own family bloodline. For a lot of your actors and actresses come from this bloodline. Madonna and Brad Pitt are in the same bloodline, literally, as Bush, Cheney, Kerry. Even Pocahontas is in this group. Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, Charles Maine. Huh, you get the idea? King John. In the same family bloodline. All of our presidents are in the same bloodline. They're a lower level, but in the same bloodline. The Merovingian bloodline. tribe of Dan, hybrids. And they're appointed to president, never elected, just appointed. They're picked at birth. So by the time they're in high school, they know they're going to be president and they're groomed as such. Election process is nonsense. That's confirmed, too, by the way. Feeney, under court testimony, confirms that the election process is fraud. And a computer program picks it out. And before, computers were just fraud to make sure that bloodline is in control and in power. That's the reality going on today. So these reference to angels who left their habitation reserved in chains at the judgment day. This was a punishment for those angels who left their habitation. Out of their prime directive to go after strange flesh, namely human women. That's a no-no. And also note here reference to Sodom and Gomorrah, sexual corruption, which now today is trying to increase everywhere. When two godly angels came to visit the home of Lot to usher he and his family out of the city, the men and the boys came to Lot's home demanding the angels be brought out so they could, quote-unquote, know them. Know them, and that terminology in the Bible means to lay with them. By the measurements in Scripture of the original Nephilim family, this offspring were like 36 foot tall to 24 foot tall. And they're coming back. They became mighty men, men of old, men of renown. Genesis 6. And did you know that Nimrod became? What does that mean? Nimrod was the son of Cush. Cush was the son of Ham. Three generations. Nimrod was killed by his great uncle, Shem. Killed Nimrod. Not Semiramis. Paul McGuire says it. She did. No, she didn't. Shem, his great uncle, killed him because Nimrod was worshiping, was into child sacrifice and dealing with these fallen angels and heresy and ancient mystic religions and all kinds of paganism and all this. So Shem killed his great nephew, Nimrod, cut him up in bitty pieces. They gathered all the pieces together. Who did? Semiramis, his wife slash mother. Cozy, weren't they? She gathered his pieces together because Shem had scared him all over the countryside as a warning to all others, anybody wants to partake in the worship of Satan, children's sacrifice, etc. You know, children's sacrifice like they're doing today in America and Europe and every place that there is. A million children a year, abortion. That's what it's for. That's the purpose of abortion. It's not a moral issue. It's not a, I mean, it is for us, yes, but the purpose of it is not moral. The purpose of it is not legal. It's not it's not economic. It's not religious. The purpose of abortion, the hidden purpose of it, is child sacrifice to Baal. Hidden by the social identification of abortion. They're not telling you, these doctors and nurses that are involved in this, and the high-level Bohemian Grove and all these other guys aren't telling you that the purpose of abortion is sacrifice to Baal. They're making it a legal issue, a moral issue, and all that just to hide it, the real purpose of abortion. Because each life is snuffed out, and they like the blood of the newborn. And I'm not going to tell you tonight what they do with the fetuses when they grind them up. You don't want to know. I'm not going to talk about that right now. Don't you stay with me here. You do research on it, you'll find out it's not good. The fact that these giants are proof of itself, that the percentage of parentage was superhuman. These giants were evil. Born of corrupted satanic angels, dominated the earth, filled it with violence. It's also interesting to note that the Bible calls them men of renown. Now here, the word Shem refers to being famous and legendary. It's kind of like the Bible's indicating that, well, those who read it hear of legends of demigods. That's titans, legendary heroes, Thor. These were real Nephilim, masked as mythology to hide it. Well, family, I am going to do this as part two of my broadcast earlier today. Kind of came into a Bible study, but it's something that it's going to be in your front doorstep. Spiritual warfare, we're going to talk about tomorrow. I will continue on to talk about this Nephilim. You got to know your enemy. And the bottom line is, you better be tied into God. You understand? You got born again, fasted, ready to go. Because you're going to have to stand up against, probably. Be nice if you didn't have to, but it might come to a point that you'll see people running one way, and you may have to stand up in front of one of these giants and yell out the name of Jesus Christ. While everybody else is running, let's get down to it. Or witnessing to others about the love of Jesus and how to become born again. I think this week we'll cover the steps you would take. You'd write it down on an index card and study it and practice it and learn it. Let the Holy Spirit lead you on what you're going to have to do to lead someone to Jesus. Because that's the bottom line. That is, a 25 millimeter round is not going to work. Copper bullets, silver bullets, holding the cross up, wearing garlic on your chest is only going to lose you friends because it smells bad. That's all it's for. They got us thinking that you hold up a cross, they're going to go away. Or you put a cross in their heart, it's going to stop them. It ain't going to happen. You see. So tomorrow we're going to talk about why would Satan do all this. And we'll talk a little bit about the flood and Nephilim giants after the flood, the bloodlines of the Nephilim. And you know, the Nephilim DNA didn't make it through the flood. They came back. Second wave. People try to say that the daughters-in-law of Noah, the three sons, were brought to Gene, but that wouldn't do it. We'll talk about the curse of Cain, some about Nimrod. See how far along we get. A lot to cover. You got to know your enemy. Well, family, we're already there again. I wanted to cover dispensation because I'm keep hearing this, and I really didn't care. I don't care what dispensation is. It don't make any difference. The scriptures are the scriptures. You can call it what you want, but I call them the scriptures. You know, I don't have to give them some kind of technical name that they, you know, where you take it and test in school. Describe in your own words what a dispensationalism means. Who cares? You know what the Bible says? Bible overrides anything a professor says because they're all humanist Marxists anyway, and that's a fact. That's documented. So that completely invalidates their ability to teach a class. Isn't that something? In every college and university, you have professors there. They're completely inadequate and biased with erroneous classes and books and CDs. Because why? Because they're Marxist and humanist assigned to that college. To make sure everybody else falls in line with the Humanist Manifesto, or they will fire that professor or ruin his career. That's how detailed it is. And these are facts. I got the quotes. If you're somebody wants to email me, I can give you the quotes. Look them up for yourself. I'm not giving y'all opinion. I'm telling you what's reported. Well, family, we're going to close up here. Father, we come before you in prayer tonight in the name of your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this Bible study we had tonight. And though we call upon you to spread the blood of Jesus around us, give us more opportunities to get out and tell the truth. And Father, keep us straight. We bring to you, Lord, our sins before you. And Father, we thank you for the trials and tribulations and the conviction you give us when we fall away. Lord, protect our families with your blood of Jesus. And Lord, give us knowledge and wisdom through the Holy Spirit. Father, these things we pray. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. He's alive, family. He's alive, and he's coming back. Whose side y'all on? Because you're going to make your mind up. Right now, everybody's trying to figure this out on their own. Joint Chief of Staff and scientists are trying to figure out how they're going to take this on. With all their knowledge of human beings and science and all this, won't matter what the human beings. When it hits off, when this thing takes off, look out. It's all spiritual warfare. Well, y'all have a good night. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, and let y'all know that we're played up in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. HighPointRadio.net. HighPointRadio, one word, .net. HighPointRadio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler. His email is HighPointRadio@Yahoo.com. HighPointRadio@Yahoo.com. We also played in KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, out west somewhere. But you can find it. And we are simulcast there on occasion. My website is WatchmanForJesus.com. My Facebook thing is Watchman for Jesus. And family, y'all get ready. People get ready because Jesus is coming soon. In the meantime, witnessing, praying, and living your lives, but not in fear. Not about living your life in fear, but in faith. Y'all have a good night. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
From the sky, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Have a good night. God bless. It's me signing off. Watchman for Jesus. Good night.